Genesis chapter 28. Y'all pray for my allergies. All right, Genesis chapter 28, verse 11. And he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now you see what happens when you use pillows for rocks for pillows, right? And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Boy, that's a promise there. As a matter of fact, that's about a six-month Bible study, if you really want to get in it. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. And I pray, Lord, that you'd give understanding to the hearer. May they understand the illustration. May it speak to our heart. May it encourage us in these last days. May we long to see that door open. We will thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I will bring you a little message this morning. It's kind of what I call a fluff message. There ain't much to it. It's just it's light. Anyway, I'll bring you a little message entitled, A Dream Come True. Now, the passage you just read, Jacob lays down, gets him some rocks to make him some pillows, and I trust that he had a blanket or something to put on it. If not, I hope his pillow wasn't granite. I hope it was sandstone or something. in whatever case, he's there and he's trying to make himself comfortable. And in the process, he goes to sleep and has a dream. It says it was a dream. Now, you can argue it was a vision, and you can argue that God was really in it. And there may be some truth to that, but the text says it was a dream. Amen. Now, this dream had a profound impact on the rest of Jacob's life. That's not an uncommon thing, not nearly as uncommon as most people would think. Our world is concerned about dreams. There's an industry that makes hundreds of millions of dollars per year telling you what your dreams meant. And I really thought about getting into that, and I would just ask people a couple of basic questions, and I could interpret their dreams. It's a simple thing. It's not rocket science. I'd say, were you mad at anybody before you went to sleep? What did you eat before you went to sleep, and how long before you went to sleep did you eat it? Amen. Are you under financial stress or medical stress or family stress? And then, depending on how you answer those questions, I could interpret all dreams. I'd have one for pepperoni. I'd have one for onions and garlic. People go and spend tons of money every year to get people to interpret their dreams. Or they take courses on to learn how to interpret their dream. Now, I'm a conscientious kind of guy. So I thought, well, if there's anything to this, I want in on it, especially if there's money in it. I've never figured any other way to make any money. So I'll try anything. And so I studied up on dream interpretation. And it's not near as hard as everybody thinks. So what I did is I took some of my own dreams and I analyzed them. And what I figured out was this. They don't make a lick of sense. You know, if you've been up too long and you lay down and take a nap, only God knows what's going on inside your skull, man. I mean, some of the weird, wild, disjointed, disconcerted nonsense. I'm going to tell you my dream. Y'all figure out what this means. Because this is one of those repeating dreams. I've had this for years. I'm a healthy young white male, but I can flap my arms and I can fly. But it's a labor to do it. And in the dream, I always end up getting tired. I'm always in the mountains. And I'm working as hard as I can, and there's power lines across this road that I'm trying to get up on, and I'm not sure I'm going to clear them. Of course, I have a survival trait in all my dreams. I always win. I never get killed. In every dream I've ever had, I survive it. People say, "Oh, I had a dream and I got killed." Dummy! I'm in charge of the dream factory here. I ain't killing me. People are whacked, man. Walt Disney Channel, they have a little thing, you know, on those kid thing, and they say, they have a little song there. It says, "A dream is a wish that the heart makes." I thought, oh my soul, I hope not. A dream is a wish that the heart makes? Oh, my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I don't want to go there, man. I bet y'all don't either, do you? Don't put any confidence in dreams. Don't put any confidence in anybody that interprets dreams. Some dreams are entertaining. Some dreams you wake up in a cold sweat. Amen. I mean, you're running from the law, and I mean, son, you're doing all you can do, and they gaining on you. And you sit up in the middle of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're just drenched in perspiration. I hope that's not a wish from my heart. Amen. That might be a wish from somebody else's heart. They've got that little doll in their stick in it. Anyway, the world's consumed with dreams. I got to thinking about dreams. And I did that for a couple of reasons I hope to explain here in a minute. I have no confidence that dreams mean anything. The day of visions and all that has gone. Now, it may come back in the tribulation period, but it's gone for now. Today we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. And so if you have a dream, just don't worry about it. Just chalk it up as a bad experience or a good time. But that's about all it's good for. Amen. And don't go spend your money getting somebody else to help you figure it out, because they don't know either. And don't worry about whether your heart is good or bad because of the kind of dream you have. You got no control over it. Okay? Just discount them. Yet, we do use the word dream sometimes in a sense or in a way that is worthwhile. For example, we can have a dream where it's a nightmare, or we can say, "Oh, I had the best dream last night. I dreamed Mama was here," and, you know, we do all that sentimental stuff. Or you can say, you know, I say, "What's your dream? What's your vision for your life or your future?" And people will say, "Well, my dream, my goal." See? My vision for the future, the way I see my life, my dream is to go to college and get a degree and get a job, get a wife and get kids and get old and, you know, But we have an objective. There's something we want to do. There's something we want to accomplish. And we've usually got some pathway laid out that will lead us, we hope, to make that dream become a reality. Now, here's how you tell the difference between a dream that is a fantasy of the mind and a dream that is a hope of the heart. And it's so simple. It's so profound. Write this down. You're not going to get this anywhere else. A dream that's a fantasy of the mind is always uttered in the past tense. I had. And a dream that is the ambition or desire of the heart is always I have. Present tense. If you want to separate fact from fiction, is it past or present? Isn't that simple? But it takes all the confusion out of the dreaming process, so I'll tell you that. Now, some years ago, back in my early adulthood, a famous black American, Martin Luther King, said, "I have a dream." And he said, "My dream is that the day will come when my children and their children are thought of and respected or not respected because of the content of their character and not the color of their skin." Well, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good dream. I don't begrudge the guy that. I'll be perfectly honest with you. If I was black, I'd be right in the middle of the civil rights movement. If I was a Mexican, I'd be sneaking across the border. If I was in either one of them situations, I'd be doing all I could to improve myself, improve my family. I don't have hard feelings for any black man or woman or any Mexican or anybody else that's doing all they can to help themselves and help their family. I don't have a problem with that. My problem is with the government that allows them to do it illegally. That's my problem. Amen. Amen. But Martin Luther King said, "I have a dream." That's been quoted endlessly since then. And every year in Black History Month, like February is Black History Month, it is incessant. It's on the TV. It's in the magazine. It's in every classroom in every public school in the United States of America. They use that thing to fire them up. Good idea, smart move, help yourself. And then, in our very day, we're not talking about some historical thing that happened way back then or some prophetic thing that may happen way over here. I'm talking about this thing occurred in our very day, in our lifetime, before our very eyes, we elect the first black president of the United States of America. And the first thing the Afro-American community had to say was, "Is this the fulfillment of Martin Luther King's dream? Is this the climax? Is this the fulfillment? Has the dream come true?" That's where we're at. That's very significant. That's incredible. I'm old enough, Sister Bird is just barely old enough, that we remember and saw on our TV in black and white on 17-inch rectangular screen with snow. When Martin Luther said, "I have a dream." And here we are, 40 plus years later, seeing people question and surmise that the dream has come true. It's pretty neat stuff. I got thinking about it. I think I could have a better dream than Martin. For example, Martin Luther King's namesake had a dream. Martin Luther, that old kraut, started the Reformation with his 95 theses on Wittenberg's wall, had a dream that forever changed his life. Martin Luther had a dream that he was on board the good ship of Zion, sailing toward home. And the boat was crowded and rowdy, and somehow he was either fell or slipped or was pushed over, and he was in the water, and the boat was sailing away without him, and he woke up in a fright, literally soaking wet from his own perspiration, because he could see his dream of heaven sailing away. That's where Martin Luther got a hold of grace. Now, he didn't get everything right, but he got that right. And it profoundly changed the rest of his life. Matter of fact, it profoundly changed the rest of the world. It changed history. It was just a dream. But boy, once he grasped it and saw the reality behind the illustration, you couldn't stop Martin Luther after that. He was like a wild man. Now here in our text, this Jacob comes and lays down and he has this dream. That's a great dream, man. I'd really like it. I've added some to it. I've ad-libbed a little to fill in the sketchy outline that he gave. Pastors have authorization from God to read between the lines. Amen. Y'all tell lies and we speak evangelistically. Y'all are thieves and we have license. In his dream, he's laying there with his head on a rock. And in his dream, he sees a ladder set up and it reaches all the way to heaven. And at the top of the ladder, he sees angels going up and down. And at the top is the Lord. Now, boy, there's some theological questions I'd like to get answered right there. Is that one of them theophanies? One of them pre-incarnate appearances of Christ? Or is that the angel of His presence? Man, I cannot get all that stuff worked out in my head. But the Lord is at the top of that ladder. And buddy, I'm telling you, when old Jacob saw the Lord and woke up and said, "Oh, my soul, the Lord is here," and I didn't know it, he was scared. He was petrified. And he started getting things straightened up and squared away. Amen. Boy, I wish America could see God anywhere, anyway, and get scared and start straightening up and cleaning up. Somebody say amen right there. He had a dream. What was his dream? His dream was he had found a way to heaven. That's what he found. This is none other than the gate to heaven. His dream was, I was trapped on this earth, and I have found a way to God. I have found a way to heaven. That's not a bad dream. I had a dream once. It's kind of a fantasy, though. I dreamed that I was tall, dark, and handsome instead of brilliant. And so I knew it was fantasy. Y'all ever have any like that? I got to thinking about Jacob's dream. I like his a lot better than Martin Luther King's. I'm glad that I found the way to heaven. I'm glad God made a way, and then I'm glad He showed it. It would have been pits if God had had a way to heaven all the time and wouldn't let us know where it was at, and we never found it. I want to talk to you for that just a few minutes. We'll go home early today. My wife's taking me to Catfish Cove for dinner. You know, most people at some time or another, in some way or another, dream about life after death. We dream about an eternal peace that not only brings tranquility to our surroundings, but brings that inner peace and tranquility in our heart. For example, when you sin and violate your conscience, you're troubled. And there's a lack of peace. There's a lack of tranquility. But when it's confessed and it's no longer hidden and it's forgiven and fellowship is restored, peace comes back. When the sea is troubled, it can be calmed. What a wonderful thing that is. And so most of us dream at some time or another about life after death and about peace with God and about quietness in our soul and peace for the inner man. I think that's pretty much a universal dream of mankind. I don't think it's dependent necessarily upon race or culture or education or any of those other things. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that you're mortal and to fear what's on the other side when your mortality is over. Wise men and fools alike can dream about what happens when you lay this old body down. And for 6,000 years, not 6 billion, those are Barack Obama's kind of numbers. You know, we went from million to billion to trillion. But God still only had us here about 6,000. Don't be fooled by the nonsense. Now, a man dreams of forgiveness and of no retribution. You know, one of the things that puts fear in our heart when we do wrong is we instinctively know there has to be a price to pay. Nobody's got to teach you that. So how do you know that's so? Because when the smallest child knowingly does wrong, he conceals it. If he was innocent, he'd just be happy as a lark, and your being upset and angry with him would be a total surprise to his little mind. But the minute you say, did you do so and so? And you can say it ever so sweetly. Sweetie, did you do that? Lying little dog. Who told him to lie about it? We all dream about forgiveness, especially when we've done things wrong and we knew they were wrong and we did them anyway. And we just say, boy, I'd give anything if I hadn't done it. The consequence. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, what a verse. What a verse. Glory to God. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's the kind of thing I dream about, you know. I can see God, and God's not going to condemn me. I'm forgiven, and it's forgotten, and the slate is clean. And when I see Him, I can see Him with peace and tranquility and quietness in my soul because He knew all that I did, and He forgave it, and He blotted it out, and He never throws it up to my face. There is therefore now, present tense. I love them things that are present, don't you? Hallelujah. Thank God for the things in the future, but I'm there's some things I want right now. There is therefore now no condemnation. God not mad at me now. I think we've all dreamt about that from time to time. Perhaps not with the exact words I use, exact illustration, but the principle. That being justified before God, knowing that you're guilty. I think that pretty much haunts the soul of everybody that lives at some point and some time. Jacob had that dream here. where he finds a way to heaven. He looks up and the Lord is at the top of the ladder. Now, I think Jacob lost it right here, if you just want to know the truth. Because in every scenario that I can program in my computer, I am up the ladder. Some of y'all just wake up. I can never figure out why Jacob is still laying there, man. I've been gone. At least that's what we like to think. But you know something? Jacob is laying there with this wonderful dream going on in his head, but in his heart, he's never been cleansed. He still has fear of condemnation. I know why he didn't run up that ladder. Don't you? Same reason you wouldn't, if you're still in your sins. He didn't want to face God dirty. He didn't want to face God defiled. Amen. But boy, he wanted to go to heaven. He found a way. He just wasn't quite ready. Which leads me into this little salvation message I have for you this morning. You know what that Bible said in John chapter 10 and verse 9? Jesus said, I am the door. Here's the way. Here's the way. It's one thing to know that there is a way. And at the top, on the other side, across the divide, whatever you want to call it, the Lord is there. And He stands and He awaits your arrival. He didn't say you can't come. There's a way provided. It's clear. What must I do now to get there? All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. If any man enter in by me, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Jacob looks up and here's a door, a gate, an opening, an access, a portal. And he wants to be on the other side. It's just how to get there. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, down through our history, a lot of men have had dreams about how to get there. But you ever look at them and evaluate them and weigh them, they all fall short. If you check out all the other major monotheistic religions in the world, not one tells you how to get from here to there. Not one can get you a clean conscience. Not one can get you forgiveness. Not one can make you righteous before God. Now, there's a couple of religions that I find interesting and tantalizing from a fleshly perspective. I would not have mind being one of those Norsemen, you know, and believing in Valhalla. That has a certain appeal to us alpha males. You know, just fight and raise hell and beat them up and kill them and then go winching, man. I mean, don't get no better than that. Or you can be a Muslim. Because if you're a good Muslim, you get 40 virgins. If you serve satisfactorily and please Muhammad or whoever it was, you get 40 virgins. Now, I've thought about that. There's something scary about that. Now, think about this. That's a fixed numerical number, right? You get 40 virgins. Are they perpetual? You see, them girls got a problem, don't they? Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Bible said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will enter, I will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is the way to heaven. But you got to walk through that door. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast down. You see, standing over here, standing at the bottom of the ladder, won't get you there. It's all that come unto me. To as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the Son of God, even to them that believe on his name. Salvation's in a person. Amen? And you got to step through that door by faith. You got to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believes unto righteousness, from the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Over here, Jacob is dreaming of a way to heaven. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1 said, behold, a door was opened in heaven. Over here, Jacob's dreaming about it. Right here, Jesus is purchasing it. And right here, the door is open. Entrance is provided. Because the means of salvation has been supplied. That's what old Jacob's dreaming about. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14 said that they might enter in through the gate into the city. Christ makes the sacrifice to rid us of our condemnation. Bestows us with his own righteousness. Equips us for the journey from here to heaven above. And in so doing, opens a door through the veil, that is the veil of his flesh, opens the door that we might enter heaven. And when we appear washed in the blood of the Lamb, bearing his righteousness, we have right to enter through the gate into the city. Old Jacob's dream has come true. Now, Muhammad's not coming true. That ain't coming. And everybody that ever worked out a system where they could do it on their own, ain't going to work. One way. Read that passage we just read there and see how much of that's in the singular. Okay. He didn't say, this is one of the gates. There's one way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I have a dream. I have a dream that all my sins are washed away. I have a dream that I've been cleansed of all my wickedness. I have a dream that I've been given a new heart. And I'm not just getting a second chance. I'm a new creature, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. I have a dream that I'll not be turned back because of my sin and my wicked past. I have a dream that I'll be received because I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I have a dream that somebody else purchased my salvation. I have a dream that somebody else gave unto me eternal life. I have a dream that because of the goodness and the mercy of an all-powerful, all-loving, gracious God, my sins, which were many, have been blotted out, and that I can ascend into heaven a clean man, washed in the blood of the Lamb, righteous and holy before Him, wearing those white robes, provided only by God. Amen. And that when I arrive on heaven's shore, I'll be received with thanksgiving and hospitality. And when I get there, I'll be known to those that are there. I won't be a stranger in that land. That's my dream. My dream is one of these days my earthly life will be o'er. And they'll lay my body down to rot in some potter's field. And that immortal part of me, that part that's going to live forever, will ascend and wing its way to the land above, to be received by the angels of light, to stand before the throne of Almighty God, and to graciously be blessed and received by the one who gave his life to pardon me. That's my dream. What kind of dream you got? What are you dreaming of? Dreaming of a big house, fancy car, trophy wife? I guess all that stuff's okay. I'm not knocking it. It just falls short. Dreaming of the day when your children will not be judged by the color of skin, but by the content of their heart, their character? I guess that's okay. I got no problem with that. It just falls short. It's only temporal. I have a dream that goes way beyond the mortal, goes way beyond the flesh. I have a dream that takes me to glory land, that takes me to the very presence of the God of creation. I have a dream that gives me eternal life with perpetual peace and joy. That's some dream. Yeah, but according to that book, my dream comes true. My dream comes true. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the dream. The